In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast Podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have...
Lucy Thomas.
And...
Brendan Levi.
Who has turned into Dracula.
I'm Philippe from this movie.
Oh, very good.
Well, wait, it can't be that good because I was trying for a French accent. You thought I was from Transylvania. And it turned out...
Yes, very bad. In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2020 comedy Swap Me Baby, starring Kimberly Leemans and Falk Henschel, where a woman and the French sex worker that got her pregnant swap bodies thanks to a magical couples retreat. But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review
Face Off.
So... on to Swap Me, Baby.
Great title.
Yeah. We have watched a few low-budget indies on the show before. Some have been more successful than others. How do we feel this film goes in terms of using the resources that were available to it to create a entertaining body swap film?
Go.
Brendan.
Yeah.
The resources and what they did with them. Like, I guess it's two people. There's four in total, but two people in a cabin in the woods, one location. I feel like the guy who made this could be listening.
Look, I think they did quite well. Like, I liked the way some things were, like, obviously not, like, they weren't going to spring for CGI or whatever. Like, there was a rabbit. It was just plainly a toy.
Which was, like, kind of fun. Like, that was funny.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like the film was aware enough to know, like, its limitations and, you know, like, the little bits of animation for the tripping and that kind of stuff. Like, I thought it used its... I thought it used what it had in its arsenal quite well.
It didn't
look bad either. We've seen some like big budget movies that look like shit.
Yeah, sure. Like I think I was just trying to say it's a serviceable film, and like I feel like there's a lot of problems, and it probably wasn't to do with the budget or the way it was shot or anything like that. So we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you say this movie came out this year or in 2020?
This year.
Okay, you said 2020 before.
Sorry.
Well, that's fine. But this is also another film that I'm going to ask if they found out about our podcast and then made this movie. Have we ever heard body swapping referred to as body swapping in a body swap film? Like, he said body swap movies. He said that.
Yeah.
I feel
this is the first time. It felt like a film written by someone who listens to our show. Now, if that's true or not, I don't know. Like, I did reach out to the director and ask him for an interview, and he said yes, but I haven't heard back from him. But he did say I'd be honored to, which sounds like something
I mean,
a listener
I'm not
would
flattering
say.
Us. I'm not flattering us, even though I'm the one that said it. But it just felt, even hearing the phrase come from one of it, not our mouths, I was like, what?
I was just going to say, like, he potentially just got picked or whatever to be a part of this project. Like, he didn't write it. So it's not like this was his passion, you know, wasn't like writer, director, Caden.
Look, I am going to believe that someone is deeply in love with Paul and thought that this is the best way to his heart.
Because you watch this film, you're like, this guy is gay.
I don't think he is.
No, I'm just saying because of Paul. Because Paul's gay. That's why.
Yeah, the one piece of trivia on the IMDb for this film is that, like, the director met the main actor at, like, a Comic-Con, and then they decided to develop this film together.
Philippe.
So, yes, because Philippe is, he's a superhero, like a DC superhero in the Legends of Tomorrow show. He plays Hawkman. So, like, he's actually got a career and stuff. So
this was a little indie for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the off season.
But yeah. But like going back to my original question, I actually think this film, like, it looks pretty damn good.
Yeah, completely.
Compared to a lot of the films that we watch. Like it has a lot of interesting ideas. It actually thinks about swap scenarios and takes them to some interesting conclusions, and
it was aware of itself completely. And yeah, also they had something to learn. Like there was like constant lessons. Like I feel like so often these films fail us in that part. It's just sort of like, well, why has this happened and why are they swapping back?
But again, like it feels like somebody is listening to this show and writing this script. Yeah. Because like it's like all the stuff that we talk about, this film does, like all the things we complain about, this film kind of responds to. So
I had fun with this movie.
This will be an interesting episode because I have completely the opposite opinion to everything that's just been said.
You had a bad day. should Paul do the plot first, or
okay? Yeah, let's do the plot, and then we can get.
Can we like pause every time I want to like comment on the plot?
No,
do a timeout. All right, fine.
Ready, time in,
set, go.
So a woman has sex with a male prostitute who then the condom breaks and she gets pregnant. She's 8 months pregnant. They go to a marriage counselor who suggests they go to this retreat. They go there and then there's a magical box and they swap bodies and they have to learn lessons that the box tells them to learn. And then they have sex with each other and do a bunch of other activities. And then they learn about each other and swap back. And that's the movie.
Well done. 3, 2, 1. You did it.
Yay!
This is what we need. We don't need complicated plots. They swap for a reason. They swap back for a reason after learning lessons. The end.
Did they need to swap, though? Like, I feel like this movie could have been exactly the same without them swapping bodies. It could have just been a magical escape room chest that keeps them in some random universe.
Yeah. There is no way to make a man understand about being pregnant without
putting
this.
Them.
Yes.
Now, obviously, this film was written by a man. Do you feel like what it had to say about pregnancy felt genuine to you, Lucy?
Well, I would just say, and this is not everyone's experience, but it was definitely mine. I thought the swap should have been earlier in the pregnancy because that's the part when I felt the worst, like I was going to die every single minute of every day. And that's the part that you just wish that you could,
and
make someone
like,
understand.
Got to swap back before the birth, so he got it pretty easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to experience his water breaking. He got to experience hurt breasts. Was there anything else like really?
I think you got a contraction in there, 1 or 2.
Yeah,
a couple of contractions,
some painful gas.
Felt the baby moving around. Okay, so Brendan, we know you love fart jokes, and this
Boy,
film.
I feel like you're
really
trying to put that on me. We all know it's you, Paul.
This film had a pretty epic fart joke. Did you enjoy that?
Also, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to eat brie,
not because of farting.
Yeah, it's much more serious than that.
But I think the film did allude to that. Like after she farted, then they kept reading the book and realized there's more dire consequences to eating brie.
But if there's someone who is watching this and they're pregnant, they might think, "Oh, all it is some gas. I'm going to eat it, and they're going to get like some." Like parasite or something eating their baby's brain. So it's not good. Ooh. As someone who's been pregnant, it's, like like me and Katrina as like a royal sort of like
I hate when people do that. We're pregnant. We're pregnant. I hate that. Women hate that.
So, Brendan, like, what's your issues? What didn't you agree with in my earlier statement?
So, for me, I think it's
just
a
Brendan, keep in mind, he will interview this person. He will.
He will hear this. Yeah, I don't know. It's... As someone who's worked on a number of indie films, I feel like you understand you don't have... You are limited. And so... I'm sure he would be able to take on some criticism as long as I'm not as mean as I am with other films. No, but like, so like the premise of like having a baby with someone who you have like no like romantic connection, no like social connection, no like moral or like ethical, like that would really be really frustrating. That'd be something that would be really scary because it's like, you've got to give this baby over to them, like, half of their life, potentially, you know?
Oh, my God, I actually had a thought of that in it. I'm just like, imagine, you know, if they're not a couple and she just has to be like, okay, well, look after the baby now, please.
Yeah, that
is terrifying. Mm. But also I wondered if maybe in this movie there's an element of, you know, she's a career woman and it didn't happen while she was younger and it's happening now, so
she broke the condom on purpose?
No, but she just thought what's meant to be will be.
Yeah, it is like, okay, you've hired a sex worker, the condom breaks, and the sex worker gets you pregnant. Now, I understand the idea of, I want a baby, I'm keeping it. It is a bit of a stretch to think, I want that sex worker to then co-parent the baby. Not because it's a sex worker, but because it's someone that you hired to have sex with you once. And then suddenly,
like, yeah, she didn't necessarily need to bring him in and get him involved in this.
And also, like, what kind of niche sex worker, like, dresses like Harman Superstar? Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
And looks like Blake Anderson from Workaholics and wears, like, Crocs and, like, itty-bitty shorts? I just don't understand, like... the market for that.
Well, she did say she was broke, so.
And she did say that when you squint, he looks like a like an off-brand Fabio.
And so, yeah, I think that's a really good premise, and I don't know if that part of it really comes up. It becomes more of a like understanding what it's like to be a woman or like be pregnant, and then. Understanding to be a guy? I'm not sure. You'll have to walk me through what lessons were learned here because I felt like the guy...
She needed to loosen up,
which I really would have enjoyed more of seeing her beforehand because all we were presented with was her immediately being the very cliche, like, I'm... What's her name? Catherine Keegle or... What's
it? Kegel?
What?
Wait, from
Catherine Keenan? No, Heigl.
Heigl.
Heigl. Yeah. Kegel? Kegel is pelvic floor exercise. Which I also know because of being pregnant.
But like, yeah, so she was immediately, like we were given like, she's Catherine Heigl in every movie she is ever in. So that character is established and this guy is a cartoon character and then we see them try to do some emotional stuff and
I kind of like the script flip of like it being a male sex worker and a female client that this, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that was an interesting choice.
Yeah.
Crickets.
Like I get what you mean, Brendan. Like they are.
And then this
they're very broad characters. Like the first thing I wrote about her was Shrew. Like she's that Shrew character that we've dealt with a lot with our movies where like it's a woman that complains a lot.
And the magical counselor was trying to bring them together when I felt like they should have like been responsible, but like you guys don't actually have to be in a relationship. Like you don't have to actually
live
in the same house.
I feel like if you try and ruin this for me, if you try and add more time to this film, I saw this. hour and 20 minutes, perfect.
Hey, breezy.
That's all you need. Yeah, exactly. You're like, but then I want it the also backstory. We need to see character development. No. Short, sharp, and shiny. Get in and get out.
That was the other thing. I felt like the tone was like a bit everywhere. Like they started just sort of adding elements. And I don't know if that was like the editor or if it was intentional, but it was like trying to do a bit of like, you know, Dawn of the Dead, like, sorry, not Dawn of the Dead. What's the Shaun
like,
of the Dead?
What?
Yeah, and it was like there's like a South Park-esque like
montage sequence
where the song is talking about the fact that it's a montage.
Again, though, like, no, I'm convinced these people listened to the podcast. They were like, all these movies have a montage. I'm going to send that up and put in a funny montage where nobody actually learns anything.
And I feel like there's a scene where she in his body like learns how to jerk off. Like I could have written that scene.
Like, what? Why?
That's like that's Paul's humor.
Yeah, it's my humor. It sounds like I feel like I've had that conversation on the podcast before. Like,
oh, what? I wasn't there that day.
I'm sure, like, you know, when we watched what was that? The Changer. There was similar sequences in that film of them like jerking off with each other's bodies.
Is The Change Up Jason Bateman?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't you ever bring that up in my presence again.
So did you guys enjoy the masturbation scene in this
film? Yeah, it was the best. I mean, it was funny. It was funny. Good on them. But.
Well, once again, like Lisa was talking about, like, oh, having, like, spun it around and have, like, a male sex worker, like, I was like, finally, like, teaching people that you don't have to just rock up. Women have to do work too. The male body needs attention. I really appreciated that.
The death stare Lucy just gave.
We can just lie there and we're still going to rock your world, you know.
But because it brings me to my question, Brendan, how effective is the three finger approach that she was using in his body to masturbate?
I don't think I've gone there, but
keep it civil.
Yeah. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Yeah. Well, one thing this film does that I don't think any of the other films we've ever done before is one of the characters is taking drugs when they swap. So then when the other person ends up in their body, they're immediately on drugs, which I thought was an interesting thing. And it kind of like it was a good way to explain away the fact that the characters weren't completely freaked out by the fact that they have just swapped bodies because one of them thought they were still tripping. The other one starts actually tripping. So it's kind of like eases them into it. I thought that was pretty clever. Because so many of these films, like, it's like, why aren't they just sitting there thinking, like, my entire view of the world is just
shattered?
Just like-
But also when, like, you walk off of sit like off a screen and then you come in like you're Pac-Man like from behind, like that's gonna mess with your mind surely.
Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think was going on? Because like obviously the counselor wanted them to go on this retreat and like were they in some sort of schmigadoon universe? Like
I got Schmigadoon vibes as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was very similar plot to
Damn it, I wish I thought of that and could have done that as a tenuous. Fuck. Yeah.
So obviously the
like they are stuck in some sort of dimension where they can't leave until they've learnt to be together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it.
And you know, so there was obviously the body swap, but then there was like, yeah, the magical thing of like they can't leave the area they're in. They just keep looping around to the same spot. Towards the end when the box breaks, like the entire like fabric of reality starts breaking around them.
And then we have a little time travel.
Child. Yeah. Yeah. So like this film like kept bringing extra elements that kept the interest, I thought. And like when they break the box as well, they have an additional swap where he swaps body
with the baby.
With the baby.
Baby still in her stomach. So, like, he's
is that a,
in
no,
the
that's
womb.
Our second actual baby swap, fetus swap, hey?
Yeah. Or, I mean, Mumba Boy's fetus swap was the fetus.
No, but John Malkovich being John Malkovich, I believe he ends up in the child's body.
Oh, yeah.
So he would have gone through, like, I think he goes through the experience of birth and that, so.
How cool is it that we've watched three fetus swaps?
Not that cool.
And one pretend fetus swap in birth.
Yeah.
Because I always have to bring up birth.
The movie, by the way.
Yeah.
For those movie, of you yes. that don't know what Paul's talking about.
There's a scene where they have to, like, learn how to, you know, have fun and enjoy the moment together, and they decide to do a whole bunch of cooking and eat with each other, and there's like a song that goes with it that like they're singing about the food, and then they start singing about being in a body swap.
It's funny because I wrote down, is this a real song? It seems real specific. And then I was like, and then I'm gonna jerk off in my Crocs. And I was like, oh yeah, this is the movie.
That song slapped.
Yeah.
I actually really liked it.
Yeah, you love jerking off in your Crocs.
Yeah. But like the beat, and like it actually sounded like a decent song. Yeah. But yeah. Like, again, like, for an indie film, like, so many indie films have, like, trash soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
With, like, temp MIDI scores and, like, awful
local
awful,
bands
like,
that their friends let them use their music for free.
Yeah. See, I just recorded an episode of Bad Gay Movies the other week, which should be coming out in the next couple of months, and we did a sort of a pseudo body swap gay movie. And that was another indie film shot in one location with two actors. And it was like night and day with this film. Like, that film was fucking painful. You felt trapped by the film.
Oh, no.
Like, because it was about a ghost in a house who couldn't leave. And I felt, as a viewer, I was just felt as trapped as the ghost. I just wanted to run away from the TV. So maybe watching that film has made me like really appreciate
this one,
this one even more, because like it's a film with primarily two actors, but it didn't feel constrained.
I was going to say again, I think they did really well on that. I think the movie wasn't boring. It had a good pace, and it didn't feel like laborious, and you weren't like, oh god, I wish there were more characters to It was good. Mm. I felt they did really well.
And I think a lot goes down to the two leads as well. Like, they were entertaining to watch, and they actually put effort into their swaps. I think the last time we watched a film where the two people that swapped have completely different accents was Like Father, Like Son, where Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore, two, like, you know, pretty established actors, couldn't even be fucked
doing
trying.
The accent.
That was so full on, man.
Yeah. So I appreciated the fact that, you know, these guys, like, neither of them are French. He's German and she's American or Canadian. Like, that's not their native, like, accent, and they both gave it a royal try.
Was she really pregnant?
I was thinking that
she
because-
has to be. Otherwise, it was very, that was a pretty spectacular, like, bodysuit.
Prosthetics, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, once again, indie budget, probably.
Yeah. I always think, man, it's so weird when people are really pregnant. And, like, I don't know, I imagine that kid can see this movie in however many years and is like, I'm in my mum's tummy here and she's simulating sex with someone else. Not my dad. She's being really rude.
I wonder, like, did they have her in mind and then waited for her to be pregnant, or were they like...
Maybe she just went full method and just got pregnant.
Yeah, for the role. Or did they, like, were they, like, doing a casting call for someone that's going to be this much pregnant
at this time?
Yeah. That's like a logistical nightmare.
Yeah.
So good on him. Yeah. If it wasn't a prosthetic, whoever
Academy
sorry,
Awards.
If it was, like, yeah, if it was a prosthetic, yes, Academy Awards, because that looked fantastic. I've seen like big budget movies.
Once again, where, I think the change up, didn't that have like a pregnant belly? And that looked horrible. Like,
did it?
Yeah, because he was like having sex with a pregnant lady.
Oh, yeah.
That was like his fetish
fucking,
or something.
That fucking movie.
And did that also have CGI Leslie Mann boobs in it?
It wasn't CGI's body double.
That's right.
Like they CGI'd her head on someone else's body.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah.
you would. You know,
so I think this is the second movie we've ever done with an actual penis in it.
Yeah, and also like that really weird like from behind like drop down
balls.
Yeah,
like you could see his balls. Yeah,
yeah.
This is definitely probably the most nude performance by us by a swap lead we've ever had. Like he's
good for him,
either
you know?
naked or shirtless 90% of the time.
And also, you see his balls from behind. So
you see his balls from behind, which is, you know, it's natural. It's good, but like, Yeah, I can't think. I think Virtual Sexuality and this are the only two movies we've done that have had full frontal male.
That's right. Yeah.
Wait, we saw Dong in Virtual Sexuality.
Yeah, there's like a full locker room, wasn't there?
Yeah, there, we've saw. Like,
oh, we
so
saw
many
heaps. Yeah, because they like
Paul
took
and
a
I
very
like,
short...
you know, 15 minutes in and 35 seconds, and Brendan's like, no, I don't remember.
Yeah, it's refreshing, like to see a penis. Because like I never get to see them.
A nice breezy afternoon.
Again, I'm convinced they wrote this film for us.
Yeah.
For Paul.
I think the only specific reference they make to another body swap is
the Freaky Fridays.
Freaky Fridays, which is a pretty like, I feel like if they wrote it for us, they would have done some deeper cuts than Freaky Friday.
I guess. Maybe
there would have been a pretty cool
Freaky
reference.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah,
but they
well,
said
isn't the fart joke the pretty cool reference.
What was that? The fart?
Yeah,
it was homage.
Yeah, the reference he made was like, oh, I should have watched the original Freaky Friday. God damn you, Lindsay Lohan.
I'll just always now, remember about in that episode. Paul said, "Imagine if Lindsay Lohan came to my house."
What's she up to? Do you guys keep up to date with her?
Yeah, she's having a resurgence, so she just filmed a Netflix Christmas movie, and that's going to be big.
Hopefully it's a body swap, so we can review it. Yeah, I feel like all those starlets are having their redemption?
Yeah, Paris and Lindsay. Brittany, everyone except Amanda Bynes.
Brittany, yeah. I know. Like,
is redemption
poor
the
Mandy
right
Bynes.
Word? Because that makes it sound like they did something wrong. Did they do something wrong?
No. So what is the word I'm looking for?
Resurgence?
I guess. Let's just say renaissance so we can get the Beyonce reference in there.
In the end scene, Lucy, I want to know your medical opinion.
As a doctor, I can do that, yeah.
Yes. So in the end scene, she's giving birth on the beach and they realize the baby's the wrong way around.
I'm talk about this. I'm so glad. Yeah.
Yeah. So the baby's the wrong way around and so they need to turn the baby. So he just like turns it from the outside of a stomach.
Okay. So I will
just,
tell
like,
you,
spins it
this
around.
Is a real thing. It's called an ECV. It's like a something manual. Like I can't remember what the letters stand for. And it can be done. But in that scenario, like, it seemed like the baby's leg had come out, right? It was like the baby's the wrong way around. You can't flip it once it's down there. Like, you know, if it's still in your belly and
so
you're
you
like 35 weeks, no. But you can flip a baby. It can be done. It doesn't always work, but it can be done, but not that late in the game. Yeah.
Wouldn't it
and
be
I
easier
also
to
think
just
it has to be
a,
an experienced. You know,
how about if he pushed the baby back in and then turned it? Is that possible?
No, because like if it's already that far down, there's nowhere for it to like flip around.
Well, plot hole.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is going to make me seem like gross, but
You can't make us think any less. Okay.
Did you notice there was a few scenes where he was supposed to be nude, but you could see
underwear,
like, that he was clearly wearing underwear in the shot.
Yeah,
like it happened like three times. No.
Yeah, and because they were black underwear, they were black underwear. It's like, shouldn't it be
skin colored or something?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, he did do the balls from behind shot at another point, so you know. He was willing to go there. Maybe it was just drafty.
I'll give him a pass. Yeah. Give him a pass. We saw his balls. We saw his dick. It's all good.
Now he can join the Jason... No. Yeah, Jason Segel club of that seeing the balls from behind in a movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. What?
The hallowed group.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall, you know the one. That happens in, like, the first 4 minutes of that movie.
Oh, you ruined your next tenuous link.
I've already done Forgetting Sarah Marshall before. I love that movie. I came here to murder you. Yeah.
Well, I would have liked to hear Lucy say, my link is seeing balls from behind.
I'm actually devastated I didn't think of Schmiga doing that. So annoying.
But now you can use Flaccid Men 6.
The worst porn ever. Why would anybody want to watch that?
Why did they make 6?
Oh, my God. I have a penis.
Stay.
Get it off. Get it off.
Well, it really is aggressive when you come this close. I understand. I am so sorry.
You heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, me.
In a French accent.
Ho, ho, ho. Oh, dear. Tout au revoir.
I don't know. Yeah, I hate it.
Was that...
Thanks, I hate it.
Like, I feel like there's a way to not make it seem racist, and you found the one way.
Croissant baguette.
J'aurai de pas deux.
All right. Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding. Ding. Everyone is
beautiful,
right?
Beautiful in their own way.
I tried to really pick up the pace.
All right. So first we have Ava Bogle as Juniper the Therapist, who we saw for all of 30 seconds.
Yo, I cannot remember what she
I have
this four cast members of this film, so we have to stretch it out.
I think she was pretty. She had short blonde hair. I think so.
I can't remember. I feel like she was dressed like a nurse in Scrubs for some reason, but she was a counselor.
I don't think she was. I don't think she was. I think she was wearing like a striped jumper.
I think you were watching a different movie before.
I'm looking at her on IMDb and she looks like an attractive person. So that's my going. Yeah.
I am going to give her a hot because I can't remember what she looked like, but I feel like if I don't remember, that means she probably wasn't like a fucking...
Well, she wasn't
monster.
Offensive to look at her.
Also, gotta love a therapist that's like, if you guys don't do this, your baby is fucked. Like, you gotta respect a therapist that just really tells it like it is.
Yeah, and like in the therapy session is like actively throwing shade at one of the people in the session. Mm. She's like, what did you even see
in
him?
Calling him ugly.
All right, so Kimberly Lehmans as Lily, the female lead of the film.
Yeah, she was hot.
Yeah, she kind of reminded me of June Diane Raphael. They had
I picked that.
Yeah,
who is that?
What would you know? She's like one of the hosts of How This Get Made, but she's been like everything.
Is she in New Girl?
Was she a New Girl?
She played the lesbian gynecologist because that's who I kind of think she looks like.
Yes.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Yeah. I thought she was like super pretty and good on her for like doing as much as she did while 8 months pregnant.
I don't know. Like I said, she was giving off real Catherine Heigl vibes.
Kegels, yeah.
Heigls.
Kegels vibe. Yeah, I mean, like, as a character, she did, like, she was...
Much more enjoyable. Much more, like, yes. Much more enjoyable to be around when she was Philippe, even though also Philippe I hated as well.
Charlie Thiel as Milo, the future version of their son.
So one thing that upset me about this movie was, you know, the way he's talking about how his parents are dead now? I'm like,
yeah,
you're not that old. Like, yeah. What happened to your parents? Were they in a car crash or like, it's really sad. And neither of them had a problem. Like the was it the mum that was with the kid?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, whatever, like I die, I guess. That's fine.
But also like what happened to the father, like, cause she was in the father's body and he could not recognize him at all. Like, yeah. Was he like hideously attacked by goats?
I didn't think of that. That's very true.
In the end credits, it actually says that the actor that played Milo, who's an actor, Charlie Thiel, was the first patron of the film. So I feel like this film must have been a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
And I feel like the top tier must have been to play this character. Like, if you give us enough money, we'll cast you as this character. That's what I'm feeling is happening.
I kind of love that. And he did quite well, so good on him.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked him
for
like...
He's in other movies.
Okay. Because I was going to say, I didn't
pick
him.
So that's just an actor just paying their way to get into a movie.
Yeah, so maybe it was intended to be a really old man in the script, but because he's the one that got the patron goal.
Makes sense. Good thing it wasn't like a 16-year-old or something.
Yeah, what happens if it was like someone completely out of the scope of this film? I don't know.
Yeah, like an 80-year-old woman.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was a good-looking dude from memory.
Yeah, he's
had nice things to say about his parents. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably he had the biggest laugh in the film for me was when he's hugging his mother in his father's body, not knowing that it was either his father or his mother, and then they go, "I love you so much," and his reaction to that was quite good.
Yeah, it was good.
And finally, Falk Henschel as Philippe.
So he did give me Blake Anderson vibes, like I said, from Workaholics. Do you guys know who that is?
Yeah.
And I've got a major Jones for Blake Anderson, so he gets a chef's kiss from me.
He was robbed. Why is he not playing Weird Al Yankovic in the Yankovic film?
This is true. That was the weirdest conversation we've ever had.
I found this person hot. He was attractive.
Yeah, love some like nice tussle body. curly hair. Yeah, curly hair.
And
and he was fit in his bod. Yeah.
Well, were you guys aware that he was originally a dancer? He was a backup dancer.
No,
for
I wasn't
Mariah.
Aware. From Mariah Carey.
And Britney Spears. And Britney fucking Spears.
God.
Britney fucking Spears. And like his original roles, he did this like movie called Street Dance 2, which was like this.
Like a step up kind of movie.
Step up. Oh my and I God. Watched a trailer and it looks fucking epic and I have to watch it. So like he can dance. He's a superhero. He's buff. We saw his penis.
Look, hot. Even with the Crocs and everything. Yeah, he did quite well for himself.
Usually Crocs are like a pretty big, like, deal breaker for me, but I could deal with them.
What about when I wear them, Paul?
I'll allow it.
Yeah, you should. I'm cute. It's cute when I do it.
Would you let this man raise
mums,
your child?
Mums that wear Crocs know. They know. Katrina will know soon. She'll get it. It's called going to the park and having to get in the fucking sandpit water play and for fucking up your shoes. That's what it is. Yeah.
So, Brendan, you asked if you would let him raise our children.
Yeah.
The real guy or the sex worker? Who are your children, like yours and Brendan's kid that you have together? That's what that sounded like.
What a fucking fucked up baby that would be. Brendan.
Yes.
Was he attractive?
No, I agree. He's an attractive man. Okay. I don't think the hair did him any favors, but
yeah, like if you see his IMDb picture where he's got like no mustache and a nice haircut, like It's nice.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice.
Do you think Daniel Radcliffe is going to sing as Weird Al? Like, I have so many questions.
I don't see him in the role. He's like, he just doesn't have the energy of a Weird Al Yankovic.
But maybe, you know, he's just going to surprise us, because you think of all the people that would have tried to get that role. I mean, actually, I don't know how many people would have tried to get that role. But I just think, for someone so left of center, how did we get onto this?
Because it's Daniel Radcliffe. That's why he got the role. That's my opinion.
And for context to our listeners, there's a line in the film where they refer to him as Weird Al. I'm guessing that's why you're bringing it up, right?
Oh, that's why.
You know, because you brought up the guy from Workaholics, and like, if anyone should have played that part, it should have been him.
I should have thought it should have been like an Andy Samberg in a wig or something.
Yeah, that too. Anyone, but I don't like Daniel Radcliffe. Andy,
you take that back. Harry Potter can hear you.
In like 2 years, people are going to be listening back to this episode and going, this aged really poorly now that Daniel Radcliffe has an Oscar for that role.
I hope.
I take it back. I'm sorry. If you're listening, Daniel Radcliffe, I actually really enjoyed you in Swiss Army Man. I think you're pretty cool.
Yeah. And congratulations on your Oscar for Weird Al.
For Weird Al, yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally what this is. We're totally stuck in a body swap situation.
A body what?
I love body swap movies. I've seen them all. I am so prepared for this.
The killer of fun watches movies.
I am the body swap master, and I'm going to use this riddle in order to break the curse and swap us back.
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Swap Me Baby from across the interwebs.
So what do people have to say about Swap Me Baby?
Well,
yeah, you do it, Lisa. There
were
there was only 4 reviews on Letterboxd, and none of them were funny. So I found a couple on IMDb, so I'll read them. All right, so this one's from Ops 52535 on IMDb, and he gives it 5 out of 10. Silly, crispy. That's the title. Just like dried mushroom, a shifting trades kind of pre-maternity at 8 months of this couple's pregnancy, there are moments of true giggle, but many moments of mediocre humor. The shape-shifting seems a bit of a flaw at moments, because he was the perfect French gigolo. So just a 5 from the grumpy old man.
Do you know what that truly sounds like? Like, it got translated from English to another language and then back into English? It's
weird. It sort of washed over me and I completely missed it all, but I also think I agreed with it.
All right, so this one's from Shane Jesus Freak on IMDb.
Friend of Brendan's.
He gives it 10 out of 10 and he says, not at all what I expected, for everything I wanted and more.
See, even Christians like it.
He says,
it's much better than, what's it called?
The Mama Boy.
Mama Boy.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Switched. Remember, we watched an actual Christian movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. But guys, I'll never forget. Switched
was more blasphemous.
I'll never forget this in Mama Boy, though.
Yeah, that was Lucy doing the Wakanda Forever symbol.
That was in Mama Boy for no fucking reason.
All right, so Shane Jesus Freak says, listen, I'm not one to enjoy romance or comedies.
You sound like a happy guy.
Wait for it. It's probably in my personal life I've lacked these elements for the most part.
Oh, Shane, I'm sorry.
But I'm sure there's a reason.
I'm generally the type of guy you would find on a Wednesday evening enjoying the inextricable combination of French onion dip with Lay's wavy chips combined with the latest season of Attack on Titan. So, yes, yeah, there is a reason.
For Lucy, Attack of Titan an anime.
Yeah.
Okay, it all makes sense now.
But then one day, I stumbled across this random gem of a film, Swap Me Baby. The title was evocative, and I couldn't quite make sense of the cover art, as it perplexed me and caused me to want to explore it deeper.
Oh.
Thus, I like, dropped the rental.
He's like, is there any boobies in this? Is that what he was thinking?
Well, the cover, you'd think maybe there's dicks in this. Well, then it's a naked guy.
I'm going to look at the cover now.
I dropped the rental funds necessary to investigate, and I was not disappointed. No, far from it. As alluded to before, I'm a big fan of anime, especially those of the science fiction type. Swap Me, Baby might be a romantic comedy at its core, but it has some great science fiction elements that sunk its hooks into me from the get-go. Not only that, but the charismatic leads do so much to elevate the relatively well-known promise of body swapping and turn it on its head. In fact, I'd say it does a full somersault into superseding expectations, all the while gripping the viewer, me, with interest as I laugh my butt off at the smart script and ridiculously delicious narrative. It's not every day that I will give a film an 11 out of 10, but here we are.
There you go.
Niche. So it brought joy into a miserable anime fan's life.
Yeah. Who doesn't like romance or comedy?
I definitely like comedy.
It sounds like a gem to be around.
Could you imagine going on a date with someone and they're like, hey, just so you know, I don't like comedy or romance. Have you watched Attack on Titan? Want to come back to my place for some dip and Lay's chips?
Do you know, Lucy, because it's not just any anime. Do you know what anime Attack on Titan's about? It's about like a post-apocalyptic society where people are like behind these like giant walls to protect them from giant naked people that come and eat you.
Every part of this, like the flow on of this conversation, has just been better than the bit behind it. Amazing. And also, Paul, please, the next time you're on a date, can you say that? I don't really like comedy or romance. Do you want to come back to my house on a Wednesday for some French onion dip and Lay's chips?
We can wrap it up the Bible.
Please say it and see what happens. Really.
Shane, you're a gem.
Or say it to get out of a bad taste.
I'll have to try it.
Sure. I totally get it now.
See what you're doing.
It's awesome.
You're doing it wrong.
What
is this?
That's how I do it.
You're using those weird three fingers. Would you want me to touch your tits like this? No. Full hand. Grab it.
No.
You are a man now. You hold your dick like a man.
Well, it's my dick now.
No.
My dick.
Rub it.
I don't think I can stop.
Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see a list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So I'll get us started. My connection is Ava Bogle, who was the therapist that none of us remembered what she looked like. So in 2010, she was in a mini series version of Brave New World.
And you just picked that out of like seeing this movie. You're like, Brave New World.
Well, no, because I never watched the version she was in. Oh. But I want to recommend a more recent version that was made in 2020. So that was a mini series. They turned it into a TV series. Unfortunately, it only lasted one season, but the one season I actually really enjoyed. This show is called Brave New World. It stars Alden Ehrenreich, who was like the guy that was Han Solo in the Han Solo movie that came out.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah. And also Demi Moore's in it, Jessica Brown Finlay, who's like a British actress. And it's a really cool sci-fi show. Did either of you guys read like Brave New World back in the day?
No, I don't know anything that you're saying.
So
I've read it.
It's a friend
who like loves it.
Yeah, it's a famous book. I had to read it in school.
And I've never heard of it.
So it's basically set in a future where all of society has kind of become a utopia thanks to these pills. Everyone has to take these pills that control your mood, so you don't really feel any emotions, but everyone's kind of like chill at all times, and you're not allowed to be in relationships. Everyone just has to like go into like giant orgies every night, and like monogamy is completely illegal. Like, you're not allowed to be in a relationship. And then there's still pockets of like normal society, but they're kind of like the outskirts. But then one of the people from that society finds out that he was actually like, his parents are from the utopia, so they bring him into the utopia, and it's kind of him unraveling the society. It's a really cool concept. I thought it was a great show, but it didn't really catch on, which I think is unfortunate. It's on Stan in Australia and on Peacock in America.
And a lot of orgies in it, or?
There are a lot of orgies, but it's all pretty tame. It's quite tame. It's not
Eyes Wide Shut.
No.
You're saying it's very tasteful.
It's tasteful. And yeah, like, it's a really cool like science fiction world they've created. Like, the look of it's really cool. The performances I really liked. If you like that kind of speculative sci-fi, kind of sci-fi with thought behind it rather than spectacle, I would give 2020 Brave New World a go.
Cool.
Lucy.
So I was a bit stumped as to what to do, and then I was like, I'm going to do pregnancy theme, and then I realized I've already done that a couple of times, so I had to kind of think even further on that. And then I thought maybe I could do Ali Wong's comedy specials, because you know how she's pregnant in them, and I think that's funny. Like, those kids will be able to see, that's me in Mum's belly, and she's making really rude jokes. But I'm not doing that, but I got to slide that one in there. But I'm doing a movie called Waitress. Have you seen it?
Mm. I've seen the movie and I've seen the musical.
Yeah. So,
wait, is this like a sequel to Waiting or something?
No.
No.
Okay.
So Kerry Russell plays like a southern waitress, and she's in a complete like awful, horrible relationship with a complete dead shit husband, and she gets pregnant, and it's kind of pregnancy from a different angle. Like, she's not psyched, but she's not psyched. Yeah. Anyway, like, she's got these friends that she works with, and there's kind of this beautiful like thing about the interior lives of women and the way they speak to each other when men aren't listening. And like the way they support each other. And then there's like an affair and all this other stuff that happens. But I thought it was a sweet little film and like a different tone than you see a lot. And yeah, it got made into a musical, like Paul said, which I'd be super interested to see. And also, I have to mention that not long after it was released, the writer and the director was murdered. Her name was Adrienne Shelley. And so this was like her last special thing that she ever did. And I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, I would back that up. It's really like quirky, funny, heartwarming film.
And I'm fully on a Felicity trip at the moment, and that's why I thought I thought of Kerry Russell, because she's really great in the title role. She plays
like, you're
the waitress.
Rewatching Felicity.
Oh yes, I'm so deep in Felicity.
what streaming service is doing Felicity?
Or have you got Disney like the Plus DVDs? Because Disney Plus, okay. Because it's J.J. Abrams, right? So there's like that crossover thing going on. And you know what also, Paul, I've fully invented this narrative of that Felicity is like a grown up My So-Called Life.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like that girl going to college. That's the little narrative that I invented.
I've watched bits and pieces of Felicity, but I was never like on the Felicity train.
I'm messaging my sister like every 10 minutes going, I cannot fucking believe Noel did that to Felicity in this episode. Like, she's like, girl, I'm not watching this with you. I don't know what you're talking about.
But didn't Felicity go like full supernatural? like where there's like witches and stuff in alternate realities?
No, there's one. Real? There's one episode that they do like a Twilight episode, Twilight Zone homage thing, which I think J.J. Abrams is kind of like that's his vibe or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's kind of like a reasoning behind it, but it you know, shows a. I think it totally weirded people out when it happened. I remember being like, what the fuck is going on? But, you know, now shows are just like, this episode's a musical. Like, it just, people just like, the rule book has been thrown out.
Yeah. In season nine, they're like, we wanted to do a musical. If you're going to make us keep make this show, you're going to get a musical.
I just love in Riverdale, which I have given up on, by the way. I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah.
It fully jumped the shark. The musical episodes, you could just see, like, the Jughead guy is like, don't fucking make me do this. Like, you could just see his soul dying. Yeah. Anyway, Brendan, what's your recommendation? Is it Felicity?
Is it Riverdale?
No, I always watched Popular. I thought Popular was really fun. Do you remember Popular?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Oh, that's. I think you would enjoy. That's not my. Anyway, my. What do we call these? Tenuous recommendation.
Tenuous.
Also an indie film. It's also got a bit of time travel in it, like this one did. In fact, it's got exactly 2 minutes of time travel. my film's called Beyond the Infinite, 2 minutes, which is a film that is sort of done in that one-shot style. It isn't technically one shot, but, you know, it gives you that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this guy on his TV and a monitor in a cafe. He can see 2 minutes into the future, and you can see 2 minutes into the past from the other monitor. And so from there, they just keep playing with that premise of like, oh, like I can see 2 minutes in the future if I look in here, you know, and then
it's cool.
Like they do some really clever and interesting things with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you watch the credits at the end, like they've got like whiteboards of like mathematical equations and stuff. Like they went deep with this. I don't know if it's
I think you would appreciate in a time travel movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's a really funny, it's a comedy. And it's a very small budget. Like I'm pretty sure they shot this all on like iPhones and stuff. And I think they did a great job of it. It was really fun. And
is it Australian or?
I think it's Japanese.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And yeah, I think anyone can have a real good time with it. So highly recommend.
Awesome. I'm really keen to watch that one. So
give it to Paul to watch is what he's saying.
If you don't get your shit together, your baby is fucked. This is not my fault. I am fully prepared.
She's very good.
How did this happen? Exactly.
We had great sex.
He's an escort and the condom broke. I don't have time to date. Wait, you paid for this? I mean, no offense.
She left a good tip too. And a good review.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put Swap Me Baby on our lists? All right, I'm going to put it in between All of Me, which is the Steve Martin, Lily Tomlin movie, and Pretty Cool.
Ooh.
So it's pretty high up that list.
Yeah.
So, and that links, it's that, then Pretty Cool, then Mama Boy. So I feel like it's a pretty good, like, little mixture to be in.
So I think mine's kind of around the same place. I'm going to put it in between. I'll sound weirdly sexual. The Dude in Me. and Selfless.
Nice.
And I'm putting it between Monkey Bone and Tammy and the T-Rex. So it's not, it's like I said, it's not my top tier swap film, but it's in good company, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those movies that we just mentioned like are films that I enjoyed watching. So.
Yeah.
It's not in the trash tier fucking.
Yeah, it's not touching
Christmas trade bullshit.
Yeah.
It's not rubbing shoulders with AI I love you.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a film writer that I follow did a list of the worst films of the 2010s,
mm-hmm.
and Cobbler made it. I think it was like number 3 or 4 on that
list. So, I really hope the director gets in touch with you for this. I reckon he's probably just stalling until this episode comes out so we can gauge whether or not he wants to talk to us. But I think it could be a fun conversation.
Yeah.
And also, I know that like you two are meant to be together. So, there you go.
All right. So, he's not going to be freaked out at all hearing that. All right. So,
let's bring up a picture of him and do a hot or not.
No, don't do that.
We'll do that after we start rolling.
All right. So, next episode, I've already kind of let slip what it's gonna be. So,
oh my god, a movie that people have seen.
Yes. So it was such an exciting announcement. I couldn't hold it back, so I had to tell Lucy in advance because she's been asking for this for a very long time. We will finally be reviewing the 2017 horror comedy Get Out, starring Daniel Kaluuya and Catherine Keener, where a young African-American visits his white girlfriend's parents for the weekend, where his simmering uneasiness about their reception of him eventually reaches a boiling point. And lots of swap shenanigans ensue from that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it'd be a good time to do this, because Jordan Peele's the director, and his new film Nope just came out, which has opened huge. He's now like one of the, you know, the most reliable directors in Hollywood. He's like pretty much the only director in Hollywood that can open a film that's not part of a franchise anymore. So, thought we'd ride that.
Have you seen Nope yet?
I haven't. Because I'm going to the US next week, and it's going to be playing on the IMAX over there. Ooh. So I'm hoping to catch it because it was actually shot for IMAX. Oh, so really? I'm hoping to catch it while I'm over there, because our little town of Adelaide used to have an IMAX and then they got rid of it. So if we want to see a film in IMAX, we actually have to travel interstate or overseas, which is very frustrating.
I can remember, like, we're old enough that I remember going to the IMAX and like people screaming at what they were seeing. It was like when films came out, and
like when the train.
It was a fish running out the building. It was a fish, some like nature thing, and yeah, somebody screamed.
The whale's gonna get me.
Well, maybe I can recreate that for when I see Nope.
Yeah, well, you probably will scream.
Yeah.
Probably not. You're pretty good with stuff like that.
Yeah. I watched The Black Phone the other day, and I was just like, not even close to getting scared.
I mean, I don't even know what that is, but there is nothing as exhilarating as screaming in a scary movie. It's such a release. It's amazing.
I've never screamed. I've jumped a lot.
When I saw The Strangers, my sister and I saw that at the cinema, and we both screamed. and also once when I was watching, you know, the ones about like that 70s couple who can like see ghosts or whatever. What are they?
Conjuring.
Yeah, Conjuring. I watched that at a friend's house, like a male friend's house, platonic, and he screamed, and it was so fucking funny. Anyway, who cares?
I've only screamed at a film once in the cinema, and it was at the credits because I was so angry at like. I was like, this fucking director walked away with the satisfaction that he made this film, and I'm so angry.
What was the film?
It was called, like, I think it was called, like, A Wolf or something? No.
Ah, Cry Wolf.
Cry Wolf. I was like, someone got fucking paid to make this movie.
I don't know what that is.
Don't worry. It's shit.
Yeah. All right. So, until next time. Don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And we have had some great reviews on iTunes lately, so let's keep that train going.
How many are we up to now? 61?
63. We need to get to 100 people.
So
we
that then I can to quit this podcast.
No. But we have to get to 100 before Face Off 2 comes out. Because if we review Face Off 2 before we review Face Off 1.
You hear that? People involved with the production of Face Off 2? Come on. Help us.
Yeah, I know.
How about if we don't have 100 reviews by the time Face Off 2 comes out, we're stopping the podcast?
No.
Too embarrassing otherwise.
I don't know. How about if I promise for every iTunes review.
Don't say anything dirty.
I retract my statement.
Yeah.
All right. I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And I was Brendan Levi. Congratulations, Caden Butera, for your first feature film.
Woo!
Yeah, good work. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of 2 Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.